Please stand. Our service for this morning begins on page 5. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto Thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against Thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to Thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring Thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given Thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for His sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by Thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of Thee and of Thy will, and true obedience to Thy word, to the end that by Thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us and hath given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on His name, He giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. At this time, I will direct you to your propers insert as we speak together our introit, half verse by half verse. The Lord is the strength of His people.
He is the saving refuge of His
anointed. To You, O Lord, I call. My rock, be not deaf to me. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy, when I cry to You for help.
When I lift up my hands towards Your most holy sanctuary.
Blessed be the Lord.
For He has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy.
The Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts, and I am helped. The Lord is the strength of His people.
He
is the saving refuge of His people. Lord be with you. We pray together the collect of the day as it's found on your proper's insert. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost comes from Isaiah, chapter 56. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him, besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I will once again direct you to your small catechism insert as we begin anew our confession on the Apostles' Creed. What is the first article of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
What does this mean?
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true.
The epistle comes from Romans, chapter 11. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now, I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, in order, somehow, to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience. So they too have now been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the Gospel of the Lord. At this time, I'll direct your attention to page 12 as we confess together our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Before we sing our sermon hymn, I'll invite the children to please come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we can do better. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Well, I got something to show you guys today. You ready? What is this?
Cereal.
Cereal. What kind of cereal is it?
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms. How many of you guys have had Lucky Charms before? You ever had Lucky Charms? I don't believe you. Is that true? You never had Lucky Charms? Oh my God. What about you? Who's had Lucky Charms? Adults. Anybody not had Lucky Charms? Oh man, you know, you guys are severely missing out. When I was a kid, Lucky Charms were my favorite cereal. In fact, it still might be my favorite cereal. But when I eat Lucky Charms, I do it in a very, very specific way. I take my spoon, and after I pour the milk in, I meticulously eat all of the little oat pieces, these little ones, there's little oat pieces, I eat them out of the cereal. And that way, at the very end, when I'm almost done with my bowl, what's left in there? Marshmallows. And then I just need to shovel in spoonful after spoonful of marshmallow into my mouth. But the thing is I make a distinction between these little sugary marshmallow bits and these little oaty bits. Now, I only bring this up because the truth is that God doesn't make distinctions like this. God doesn't pick and choose which little cereal bits he wants to eat. Instead, especially when it comes to things like sin and salvation, God sees everyone equally. But that's not the way that we always see the world.
We see people who are tall and we see people who are short. We see people who might be a little bit more round and people who are a little bit more skinny. And we see all these different designations, but what it does for us is sometimes we can treat people badly because they're different. Does that ever happen? Have you ever seen someone get treated badly because they're a little different? This happens all the time for adults. They don't like to treat each other like Jesus would treat us. Because again, Jesus doesn't see any distinction. You might remember from John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave Jesus to all of us. And so it doesn't matter if your eyes are brown or if they're blue or if they're green. It doesn't matter if you're tall or short. It doesn't matter if you're a boy or a girl. Because Jesus died for all of us. And that's something we should remember. We should try to see the world the same way that Jesus sees it.
Let's pray.
Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For dying for me.
For dying for me.
Help me.
Help me.
To always remember.
To always remember.
That you have died.
That you have died.
Forever.
Forever.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. You guys can head back to your seats now. Someone's got to get her some Lucky Charms. She doesn't like them? Oh, man. I can't even relate. Not even a little bit. Anyway, at this time, we'll sing together our next hymn, which is number 334. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Does our gospel text for this morning make anyone else feel a little uncomfortable? Does it seem just a little bit offensive to any of you? I mean, let's think about it, right? A foreign woman comes to Jesus and cries out to her, to him for help. And what is the first thing that our Savior does? He gives her the cold shoulder. He doesn't respond even with one word. And then as she continues to cry out after him, all of a sudden he turns around, he goes, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, I have great power in me. I could probably help you, but you were born into wrong citizenship. You're not part of the right nation. You're a Gentile. You're not a Jew. And as she continues to be persistent, then all of a sudden Jesus calls her a dog. "I came for the Jews. It's not right for me to take what belongs to the Jews and throw it to you, a Gentile woman." Uh-oh. It's a good thing that Jesus didn't post any of this to his Facebook account or his Twitter feed, because you know the masses would certainly be up in a tizzy about the whole thing, right? Calling for an apology immediately. And then, of course, Jesus would have to resign from his position. Right? My friends, there is a particular danger in interpreting this text through our modern 21st century lens. And even more dangerous is trying to understand this text without reading the 20 verses that came right before it, without understanding the scriptures as a whole. Because as we start to read this context, we learn, first and foremost, that Jesus isn't being prejudiced. Not at all. Yes, it is true, he came first for the Jew, and then for the Gentile. No one's saying any different. But you might remember, this is Matthew 15 we're talking about in our text for today. Back in Matthew chapter 8, who came to Jesus but a Roman centurion, who is also a Gentile? And Jesus commends this centurion's faith. You might remember, if we fast forward to Matthew 28, when Jesus gives the Great Commission, he says, "Go and baptize all nations." And if we want to fast forward even further into Revelation 6, when we get that picture of all the saints who are gathered around the throne of the Lamb at the last day, and who is there but people from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. No, it would be inconsistent with the truth of God's word and inconsistent with Jesus' perfect character to think that he is prejudiced. So, what does the text all about then? See, it's less about Jesus' interaction with this woman, and it's more about who is witnessing the interaction. And who else is there in this whole account? But the disciples. And granted, we get to be there too through the pages of Scripture. You see, it was just a few verses before our text began that Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, "Are you also still without understanding?" Well, also means they must be together with somebody else. And who else has Jesus very recently had a misunderstanding with was the Pharisees. The disciples are misunderstanding time and time and time again throughout the entirety of Jesus' ministry. And it seems like every other page of Scripture, Jesus turning around to rebuke his disciples because they just don't get it. And so the woman comes crying, and Jesus says, or Jesus' disciples come and say to him, "Send her away." Sounds like a perfect opportunity for Jesus to teach his disciples some understanding. And honestly, it should be really obvious for us, because when in the scriptures does Jesus ever hear from his disciples, says, "Send her away," and Jesus goes, "Okay, good idea, guys." That honestly, it never happens. I'm not sure that Jesus ever does exactly what his disciples say when they ask it. And so Jesus' compliance with his disciples' request has to mean something different. Jesus is attempting to open their eyes to understand a very important truth. That anyone, whether it be Jew or Gentile, anyone who comes to Jesus with humility and faith will receive his compassion. There is no believer who leaves Jesus' presence empty-handed. And that includes this Canaanite woman. And as you might imagine, it also includes you. See, this text is a lesson in humility, because the disciples, as well as the Pharisees, who Jesus lumps them in with, they thought that they would receive greater blessings from God because they were Jews, because they had the forefathers, because they had the ancestors, because they had the law given to their people. They thought, in a word, that they were superior. And so Jesus uses this interaction with a woman who clearly didn't deserve his time, a woman who was the lowliest. Not only is she a woman, so she has no status in society, but she's also foreign. And Jesus uses the lowly to bring down the proud. And there's this great reversal that goes on. Now, it isn't all that difficult for us to project this lesson from our text onto our own lives. You know, the importance of humility. Because so often in our lives, what we do is we swell with pride. We think we're better than someone else because maybe the family we're born into, or because God has given us a very nice financial situation to live in, or because we have great influence in the community. Or, maybe this year in particular, because of our political affiliations. I can't tell you how often we have all probably scrolled through Facebook or Twitter or something, and we see, whether it be on the left or on the right, how someone elevates themselves to a higher position because they know better, because they're smarter, because their insight is greater. And what we do is we use our political affiliations to objectify our neighbor. To think that we're better than they are. They must be ignorant or stupid because, heaven forbid, they don't agree with me. My friends, Jesus died for you. And he also died for your neighbor. And he also died for your enemy. Even when someone disagrees with us, do we treat them as someone who Jesus loves dearly? When did we develop such pride in ourselves? When did we develop such contempt for someone who disagrees with us? Like the disciples, we would do well, myself included, to learn a lesson about humility. To learn a lesson about how God sees the world. Because he sees the differences. And yes, some people are right and some people are wrong. I'm not saying, you know, maybe your political affiliation is 100% on par. That's not the point. The point is that we use our opinions, we use our ideas to turn somebody into not a person anymore. We should humble ourselves and love everyone equally, just as God equally loves everyone. See, we don't really deserve anything good. The Canaanite woman learned that, and she was able to humble the disciples. But we need to reach a point of this humility where all that is left for us is to cry to the Lord for his help. To cry to the Lord for his divine goodness and his mercy. Recognizing that all the good we get is not because of anything special in us, but simply because God wants to be our Father. It's only those who are humble who truly understand God's mercy. It's only the humble who truly understand that God is the source of every good thing. And God does give abundantly. He goes beyond treating us like dogs. He doesn't just give us the crumbs that fall down, but instead he sets us at a place at his table to give us daily bread, right? Everything that has to do with the support and needs of this body and life. And he cares for us. And not just for our physical well-being, but for our spiritual well-being too. He doesn't give you the crumbs, but he gives you his very body and his very blood in the Lord's Supper. He strengthens your faith. He takes away your sin. Yes, all the sin where we have objectified our neighbor. All of the sin where we thought that we deserved something good from God. He declares you forgiven. He speaks the word of hope and deliverance to you. And it's all only accomplished because of what Jesus has done. Because while we deserve to be the dogs, while all we deserve is the crumbs, in fact, not even the crumbs, we're not the ones treated like a dog. Jesus is. He is the one who is utterly forsaken by God in your place. He's the one who is abandoned to bleed and die alone on the cross for your sins and for mine and for the sins of the world. Jesus doesn't even get a crumb of relief or mercy from his heavenly Father, but instead he consumes the entirety of God's wrath. Again, for you, for me, for the whole world. And if Jesus is willing to do that for everyone, far be it from me to have even an ounce of hatred for someone else in this world. My friends, Jesus isn't prejudiced. In matters of his blessing, matters of his care for humanity, he doesn't see Canaanite or Israelite. He doesn't see Jew or Gentile. He doesn't see male or female. He doesn't see black or white. He doesn't see rich or poor. He sees faith. And he sees humility. He sees those who are troubled and downcast by the life and by their sin that has so consumed it. And what he does is he lifts them up. He lifts you up to a place at his heavenly banquet, and he feeds you with every good thing. May the Lord grant us such humility and faith to cry to him in our hour of need, because we will receive his blessing both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray to the Lord for all that we need on behalf of all people, that he may bestow upon us the riches of his grace, and that we may receive his gifts with thanks and thanksgiving in our hearts. In addition to the prayers listed in the bulletin this morning, we also remember John Drake, who suffered a stroke yesterday morning. For true unity in the faith, for the preservation of pure doctrine, for harmony in the lives of our congregation, district, and synod, and for charitable hearts that put the best construction on what we see and hear, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those outside the kingdom, for missionaries near and far, for the ministries and agencies of our church, whereby the gospel is spoken to those who have not heard, and for those who hear, that they may be brought to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, for husbands and wives, to live in faithfulness to each other, for all mothers with child, for all children, and for those who bring them to baptism and nurture them in the faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president, the Congress, our governor, all elected and appointed leaders, all judges and magistrates, the members of the armed forces and our police, firefighters, and emergency medical personnel, that they might be protected in their duties and continue to serve us in God's name, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the healing of the sick, the relief of the suffering, the comfort of the grieving, and the peace of the dying. Especially this day, remembering John, those on our prayer list, and those we remember in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our remembrance of the saints, and in thanksgiving for their faithful witness, that at last we may be joined with them in your eternal presence, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, giver of all that is good, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your grace, that we may endure the changes and chances of this mortal life and be found worthy when our Savior comes to bring to completion all things. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, unto thy church, thy Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which cometh down from above, that thy word as becometh it may not be bound, but have free course, and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve thee, and in the confession of thy name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Please be seated for the closing hymn, number 243.